Good morning. I'll be reading Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32, and I'll be reading from the King James translation, Romans 1, 28 to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, unmerciful, knowing the judgment of God, which they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. Thank you.
Briefly, let me say that it's a joy, an honor, and a privilege to be back in the presence of this good church here at Brown Street. Once again, to your local elders who, by invitation, have requested that I come and be involved in this series of meetings for this week, along with my oldest son, Joshua. I'm thrilled about that. I may sound a little greedy, but I wish more churches would open up to that idea. And as I said, that may be greedy on my part. But nevertheless, I'm honored and pleased to be in your presence this morning. My intention this week and the amount of lessons that I give, as we'll divide these up with myself and Josh, there will be a total of 8 sermons delivered. I have 4. Josh has 4. I can do that math. That's pretty simple. And I like it simple, let me tell you. My plans are, as we talk this morning, was to just kind of do a short character study on some Bible characters. And I know that was a brief synopsis of Mrs. Job, perhaps, and Job's 3 friends. However, in the preaching arena, and Don, I'm sure, can attest to this, that as you travel and you hold meetings such as this, you hear things. You know, that's just comes with the territory, all right? But, you know, sadly, in general, there seems to be certain issues that find their way into the local body of the church. I want to address at least a couple of those this week. One this morning and perhaps the next one maybe Tuesday night or Thursday. I'm undecided. But these lessons are needed because I know the Brown Street Church isn't perfect. We're not in heaven, are we? So I know there's flaws here, and I know there's flaws at Englewood, and I know there are flaws in all of our local churches of Christ. We understand that. So do we just let those flaws go? Or do we address them? Well, obviously the right thing to do is address them and try to encourage the membership. Okay, hey, let's get our act together. Let's be as pure and as sound as we possibly can be. I don't know if the young kids can relate to this, but most of us remember the old phrase that there's a fungus among us. Well, that fungus can be regarded as sin. Sin ought not to be among us, but in reality, there is a fungus among us. And the fungus I want to look at this morning would be this fungus of gossip. Now, here's a cover of a 1948, I think it is, a cover on the Saturday Evening Post portrayed by the greatest, Norman Rockwell. And I just want you to trace that. Look at it just for a moment. You see what's going on. And just for the record, I'm going to let you know that gossip is just not a woman thing. Okay? For the record. But notice how this starts up at the top left. She tells another woman. That woman, in turn, tells another. The other woman finally goes to the man. He tells someone. And just watch it go. Watch how it goes. And we all know this, don't we? Isn't that the truth? You see, in the end, here's who she's talking about. And he finally catches wind of it. And let me tell you, you will catch wind of gossip. If it's in the midst of a congregation, sooner or later, it's going to come out. Do you know why? Because God hates gossip. Gossip just tears down people. We've heard the old cliche. I remember my dad saying it years and years ago. If you can't say anything good about them, what? Don't say nothing at all. You know, if we would implement that in our lives, it'd be a lot better for us and the people that we're tearing down, wouldn't it? All right, so here we are. And we sometimes paraphrase this by, well, I don't mean to gossip, but. Yeah, boy, I tell you, that's how we are. Let's talk about the evil of gossip. Do you know the Bible just has so much to say about gossip, and we may not realize it. I had a couple people tell me in between services, well, I didn't know that about Mrs. Job. There's a lot to say about Mrs. Job, a lot to understand about her. There's a lot to say about gossip. I suggest to you that gossip is one of the least sins that's ever confessed, that I've been guilty of gossip. I say it's in that probably top five category of I've been guilty of gossip. I've been guilty of envy, covetousness, you know, and those other things that we don't like to say that we're guilty of sometimes. But let's just notice a few of the scriptures, okay? And you kind of see here, you know, somewhat of an optical illusion, you know, if you look at it in perhaps the right way. But nevertheless, I've got a lot, most of verses on the slides this morning. Normally, I don't do that. I'm afraid, you know, I'm old school and I don't want to get away from the book, you know. But sometimes I do. And so we'll look at it on the slides mostly this morning. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, under the law of Moses, it was written, you shall not go about as a talebearer. That is telling, T-E-L-L-I-N-G, telling tales, T-A-L-E-S, among your people. Nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord Yahweh. I am Lord. Don't do that. Don't go around your people telling tales on one another. Yes, this was to the camp of Israel. Understand that. But what about the camp at Brown Street? What about the camp at Inglewood? What about the camp at Franklin where Josh preaches and elsewhere? Does this apply? This applies. Hey, it's an Old Testament principle, but remember Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Learning. We can learn from Old Testament examples. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 at verse 11, for we hear, Paul says, as he writes to the saints at the church at Thessalonica, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but as busybodies. We've oftentimes used the phrase, somebody's talking about something, we say, mind your own business. M-Y-O-B. You know, mind your own business. Stay out of my, quit dipping into my life and things of that nature. Well, there's people like that, and Paul had to address that to the Church of Christ in Thessalonica. And here we are in our text this morning. I appreciate our brother reading this. Paul starts there in verse 30. He calls it backbiters. What's your definition of a backbiter? Well, obviously, they don't come up literally and bite you in the back. We'd feel that, wouldn't we? But you know what we don't feel? Is when people talk about us behind our back. Who don't have the spine enough to come to me and say what they're, you know, what they're thinking. They had no problem going over here or over here and telling someone else, but they can't tell me. That's backbiting, isn't it? And listen to what Paul says. Look how dangerous this is, church. Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, at verse 32. Who, these individuals, who, knowing the righteous of judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, Paul says, but also approve of those who practice them. If we just let it go and let it go and let it go, you want internal problems in the local church? Do that. Without any rebuke or without any reproof, and you'll get just what you're wanting. Solomon says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander. Slander is something that's not true about someone. Whoever spreads a lie, if you will. Solomon says is a fool. A fool. Ever stop thinking how many fools are going to be in heaven? Usually, where you find gossip, hey, you'll find cliques. You got a bunch over here on this right side, and you all are a clique. You talk about these over here on my left side over here. Look at them over there. Can you believe she wore that outfit this morning? Yeah. Look at that tie. I wouldn't wear that to a dog fight if my dog was fighting. And this can't leave out you all. You look across and you look across and, you know, you think things. Wait a minute. I say again, usually where you find gossip, you'll find cliques. And where you find cliques, you will find gossip. Is that the truth or not? I'm not here to meddle. Well, maybe a little. But isn't that the truth? That's the way it is. That's the nature of that beast. It truly is. Let's continue on to see what the Bible has to say about this. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, lest there be jealousies, lest there be outbursts of wrath, lest there be selfish ambitions, lest there be backbitings, lest there be whisperings, conceits, tumults, on and on. And Paul says, I don't want to find this when I come to you at Corinth. I mean, you've already had your share of problems, you know. You don't need any more. 1 Timothy 6, if anyone teaches otherwise, Paul says to the young evangelist, and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which according to godliness, or with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come what? Envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. So we ask the question. Now that's written 2,000 years ago, right? Is it still applicable today? Well, look at the question. Have you ever been guilty of making a quick assumption about someone's circumstance, about someone's features, the way they look, the way they dress, whatever, without knowing all the facts? And as I said, put your hand down. Of course we have. We've all been presumptuous along that line. We've all make these preconceived assumptions and judgments on people, don't we? And what do we talk about it. You see, if you can't say anything good about them, just don't say it. Just don't say it. I'm telling you, it will make you a better person if you can restrain yourself from saying those things. Solomon, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Yeah, I do. I wonder if the gossiper ever or even has a clue that he or she is being gossiped about. So we need to do a reality check here. You know Matthew 7 at verse 12 as well as I do. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, listen to this principle, how simple it is, and yet how rejected it is by the world. I mean, who wants to listen to Jesus, right? Yeah. Jesus says, paraphrasing it, you do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Do we see how strong of a statement Jesus made there? That if the world, just think if the world would implement that principle of Jesus alone. You treat others like you want to be treated. Wonder what kind of world we'd be living in today versus the kind of world that we are living in today. All right? Paul says in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy at verse 13 there, and besides, they learn to be idle. They wander about from house to house. And not only idle, Paul says, but they also gossips. Did you know the Bible mentioned gossips? It sure does. There it is. Hey, it's in your Bible. Gossips, busybodies, doing what, Paul? Saying things they ought not to say. Can we just do a quick time out here? Have we seen ourselves guilty of anything yet? And if so, then the lesson has been successful. But it's only really successful if we decide to change. Saying things which they ought not. Do you find it easier to build someone up with your words? Or do you find it easier to tear them down with your words? Let me say, if we find it easier to tear a person down, understand that reveals your lack of integrity. That reveals just your lack of compassion. That reveals just a whole lot. Because really, going back to what Jesus said, would you want them talking about you? No, you wouldn't. No one likes to be talked about. You know that old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You believe that? I believed it for years. I just quoted, I was a creature of habit. Yeah, I throw that out. Wait a minute. Yeah, words do hurt. You better believe they hurt. So I just scratched that one out of my quotes, you know, that I oftentimes use. Yeah. We look here at the evil of gossip. Even the prophets of old would speak about it. You may quickly agree that gossip is a sin, all right, but are you guilty of redefining terms, making excuses, and calling your evil works good? Boy, what kind of society are we living in? I mean, don't they champion that concept? Redefining sin? Yeah, Isaiah said it this way in chapter 5 at verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, who change it all around from its original meaning. Yeah. Society, as I said, champions that concept. You don't hear it used very often anymore, the term homosexual. We hear it every now and then. Slash lesbians. We hear it every now and then. Hey, Eddie, back in our day, it was queer. Remember that? How often do you hear that today? And that's exactly what, look up the definition of queer and see what it says. And let me say to you, it means what it says. But no, our society comes by, and since that's not politically correct, and you know, God forbid that we should, you know, go against the things that are politically correct. Wait a minute. So we have gay. A number of us are old enough to remember what gay really meant. Remember back in the day? Now, we have been compelled and forced by our society that we can't say that. I'm gay. Go and tell someone, I'm so gay today. What do you think they're going to think? Wait a minute. No, it's just a different lifestyle. I choose to alter my lifestyle. Well, where our brother read there in Romans 1, you remember those lifestyles? They're worthy of death, right? And then there's that adultery issue that's among us today. Sadly, even that has permeated the church in so many places. And the world says, oh, that's not adultery. Well, that's too archaic of a word. How about cohabit? You know, we're just living together. We're shacking up, you know. Gossip, I'm just sharing my view. Folks, simply by using an alternative word doesn't lessen the sin at all. Let's look quickly at some common reasons people use to falsely justify gossip. How about starting with a blatant denial? Maybe that's a good place to start. Think about it. I don't mean to gossip, but. Yes, you do mean to gossip. Take out the but. Sometimes we try to justify it by putting a disclaimer on it. Does that really change things? Well, let's see if it does. I don't mean to steal, but does that excuse the thief? Hey, let's go to extremes. I don't mean to murder or kill, but does that excuse the murderer? You see how foolish this is. Listen, Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:13 again, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, again, saying things which they ought not. You can't explain away saying things that you shouldn't say. So I'm going to say it one more time before we advance here. What do you find it easier to do? Build someone up through your speech, or just rip them apart, tear them down? Don't raise your hand, but there's some of you here who are old enough to remember the party line on the telephone system. Isaac saying, well, party line? Yeah, you know, around the neighborhood they had the party line. You could pick up that phone and just eavesdrop on everybody. You could hear other people's conversations. Well, you're talking about an invasion of privacy. You know, where was the government back then? Listen, and that's what was going on. Here's some other reasons people use to falsely justify gossip. The secret pact. Hey, just between me and you. Promise not to tell anyone. Can you keep a secret? You know, who? I'm just going back again. For us oldies. Wasn't it Gary Moore who had a show on years ago, I've Got a Secret? Remember that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, think about it. Hey, this is between you and I, right? Matt? Just me and you, buddy. Okay? No, look, the whisperer does his or her work in secret because they know they're doing something shameful. They know they're doing something wrong. Hey, if we know it, what are we doing? If we know it and we do it, we're sinning. Let's just quit dancing around it. They know that they're about to inflict damage upon someone. We've already saw Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you would have someone do to you. You know, this is really more of a challenge than what we might think. Because if I'm in the habit of slandering people, talking about people, you know, I can get in that habit and I can do much harm to the local church like this. As I said a moment ago about the cliques, it happens. It can happen. And if you want division, you'll get division. We'll talk about more of that maybe Tuesday night. Unity in diversity. And what that concept brings into the local church. And what it brings is not pretty. And we'll use some quotes from very popular individuals in the brotherhood. And those quotes will be shown where you can yourself go to the website and read for yourself. I'm not slandering. I'm showing you this is what this brother said about this. Okay? Proverbs 16, a perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. You know this. Look at it. You think about this. How many friendships? Maybe you're here this morning and you had a close friendship with someone, but look what happened. That friendship has been severed. How many friendships have been shattered simply due to a loose tongue? James says, you know, you better bridle that little thing. You better bridle it. And I suggest sometimes there's just not enough brethren and sisters not bridling our tongue. That will sever a friendship just like that. James said it that way about the tongue. He says it's like a fire, a wildfire. It starts out small and whoosh, look at it. Look what a tongue happened back in the 30s and 40s. The tongue of Adolf Hitler. Look what it did to an entire nation of people. When you use your tongue for the wrong purpose, look at what can happen. Jesus said in John 3, this is a condemnation that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. That's why. Verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. That's why. No gossiper wants to be exposed, but I'm telling you, it's going to come back, and no pun intended, it's going to come back and bite you. It will. The psalmist said, no human whisper is so low that God cannot hear. And let's just say your gossip goes undetected by others. It is not going undetected by the Almighty, to whom we must give an account. Psalm 98, verse 8, you've set your iniquities before you. Our secret sins in the light of your countenance. He's an all-knowing God, isn't he? He truly is. Let's continue. The truth excuse. Well, what I'm saying is true. So what if it is true? Granted, there's no justification for spreading it. If it's going to tear someone down, if it's going to cast evil suspicion, if it's going to cause someone to delight in the personal problems of others. Again, Matthew 7:12. I hope you agree with that. That even if it is true, so what? I don't need to share it with others. Look here. In the second letter to the Corinthians, second chapter, Paul's addressing something that happened back in the first letter. You remember 1 Corinthians 5? Do you remember that brother who had his father's wife? Do you remember that? Where Paul said that even isn't named among the Gentiles. This is who he's referring to. He says, this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, Paul says, is sufficient for such a man. He says, because on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. How easy would it be to gossip about a person in the church who had his stepmother? Wonder what kind of fire that would start. And look what Paul's saying. Instead of that, why don't you comfort him? Instead of that, why don't you love him? Lest he be consumed with so much sorrow and feels so unworthy and just quits, gives up on the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Rather than dwelling on the past of their brother, the Corinthians, we're told to comfort, not to gossip about his past. Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, you tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, what have you done? You've gained your brother. Hey, if we would just do what Jesus says to do, look how many problems could be eliminated. Many problems within the church could be avoided. But so often, no, we'll do it our way. Yeah, I know what Matthew 18, 15 says, but I forget it when I go out the doors here. That is, we tell it to everyone except the one who we need to tell it to. Jesus knows what he's talking about, brethren. He's saying, here's the way you handle those situations. Here's the praise diversion. Boy, we're a strange breed of people. He's a nice guy, but did you know? Sometimes we try to offset our gossip by throwing in some kind of a nice compliment sometimes. He's just an excellent Bible student. Oh, man. But, did you know the problem him and his wife are having? Does that even sound remotely close to what Christianity ought to be like? We can expect that from out there in the world, can't we? That's how we expect the alien sinner, for the most part, to act. But wait a minute, didn't we put on the new man? Didn't we crucify the old man of sin and give all that up? He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. We're coming to a close. Here's the enemy license that justifies gossip in many people's idea. But he did me wrong. You ever been wrong? You've been wronged, haven't you? Well, what do we do when we're wrong? Do we in turn do wrong to those who wronged us? Well, if we were still outside with the world concept, yes. But wait a minute. Some believe that the rules against gossip do not apply to their enemies. God said, do this. Don't you return evil with good. I'm sorry, God said to return evil with good. That didn't sound right when it came out. Yeah, God said to return evil with good. When someone does evil to you, do good in return. Don't go to that level where they're at. Titus 3, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Now you want to challenge Christians? To speak evil of not even the government. The president. The Congress. How difficult is that? Not to. Paul says you pray for those who are in authority, for kings and those who have the rule over you. And how often do we do that? Are we quick to pray for them or are we quick to criticize them? I called it a challenge, remember? It's a challenge for me. When I see all the laws that are enacted that just goes in opposite direction of God's Word. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Hey, what if the commandment, if this commandment, look at it, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. So I say again, what if that commandment was implemented into our lives as Christians? Think there would be less tale-bearing? Think there would be less backbiting? Less slander? Less gossip? Absolutely. The last point. I'm just going to counsel It's the counselor privilege, as it's known. I was just seeking counsel. The scriptures teach that the wise man will seek counsel. Solomon says in Proverbs 11, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let me bring that up to date. In a congregation of God's people, where there's a local eldership. In the multitude of elders, there is safety. Shepherds, get the analogy, safety of the sheep and things like that. I'm honored to be an elder where I preach. And I think it may be this, yes. It's a blessing to be able for any member of the local church to go for advice about a difficult situation in your life, to be able to call upon your elders. Just 2 weeks ago, you know, we've got issues at Englewood. We got members with problems. Problems in their marriage. Problems about drinking. Problems with drugs. And you're thinking, well, what kind of church is that? That's the church. That's what it's made of with some folks. Some people have issues in their life. And they're trying to shake them, you see. They want to get rid of those issues. And instead of going to this worldly environment and seeking the, and I'm not making a blanket statement here, but seeking the psychologist and the psychiatrist of our day, who's going to give them worldly advice. The wrong kind of advice versus, I've got elders. I'm going to my elders. So we have this couple come in. The first thing the brother said, is this confidential? Is this confidential? Do you know how much I appreciated that? I wasn't appalled about it. I wasn't offended about it. I was encouraged by it. And we reassured him, what goes on behind these doors stays behind these doors. What kind of elders? Did you know elders can get caught up in gossip? Can you believe it? That they would share something with another member of the church about a brother over here who came to them in strict confidence and they're sharing that? It happens. It ought not to happen. But look what happens. Look at the damage control here. Or not damage control. Look at the damage to avoid damage control. If that gets out, how much confidence is a membership going to have in its elders? If that goes on, well, I can't even go to my own elders. I'm telling you, that's how powerful gossip is. That's how damaging gossip is. And I know it's not a sermon taught on very much, but it's a sermon that needs to be taught from time to time. As a reminder to avoid these situations so we don't allow a counseling session to become a gossip session. I'm going to say in closing, as a preventative measure for the church this morning, if you are guilty, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying if you are guilty, cease, stop it. Don't do that in any form of gossip. You would have to repent of that if you've been guilty of such. As I said earlier, one of the least confessed sins in the church. But the church gossiper is a detriment to the local church. That's what he or she can be if it's not dealt with properly. So if you hear what you believe to be gossip, here's what you do. You take that individual with you to the one they just gossiped about. Now, you want to stop gossip in its tracks? That's what you do. Let me illustrate, and the lesson will be yours. Yeah, it's you. He sees me after services today. But this wasn't the sermon he heard. It was another sermon. And he says, Brother Lee, I need to tell you something about Brother Taylor. Sue, move your head. Sue. Yeah, no. There he is. There he is. Yeah. And I said, you need to what? You need to tell me something about Brother Taylor. So I get him up. Listen, here's my point. Now, what were you going to tell me about Brother Taylor again?
I forget.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. You see, there's the point. That's how you stop it in its tracks. But wait a minute. Who's going to do that? Why can't you do that? That's how you prevent it. Listen, maybe not a soul-stirring lesson this morning, just maybe a lesson about a reminder of, you know, this bad habit that sometimes might creep in on us. Let's talk about your soul just briefly. Is your heart right with God this morning? Have your affections been nailed to the cross? Have you given up the world to follow the Lord? If you have, God bless you. But how's your fellowship with the Lord? Are you as strong as you need to be, spiritually speaking? Or has something in your life as a Christian severed that relationship? You just don't feel connected to God like you used to. Sometimes you say, I don't know, God just seems so far away. I just can't connect with Him anymore. Ask yourself this question. Who moved? If God seems so far away and out of touch, who moved? If you need to make any changes in your spiritual life, whatsoever they may be, won't you do that this morning as we stand and sing the song, Brother Matt has chosen.